Okay, we're beginning the second parak here in Masechet Kiddushim. Mishnah says, "Aish mekadesh bo ubishlucho." A man can create kiddushin by himself, or he can do it ayidei shaliach through a proxy, an agent. Aisha mitkadeshet ba, she can accept the kiddushin herself ubishlucha, or through her agent. Aish mekadeshet bito kishhi ne'ara. A person can marry off his daughter when she is a nara, bo, he himself can do it, ubishlucho, he can do it through his agent. So now there are three different pieces to the Mishnah, now the Gemara is going to investigate each one of these. Hashto bishlucho mikadesh bo mibay. If he can do this through an agent, of course he can do it himself. Gemara's question is, why are you telling me that he can do, or he can create kiddushin, when you're telling me that he can do it through an agent? Just simply telling me he can do it through an agent, and of course, he can do it himself. The idea of agency is that someone else is stepping into your shoes and becomes your proxy in the matter. But that's only true if you yourself can do it. Then you can assign that, or you could give that right to someone else. So if the Mishnah simply wrote, Aish Mikadesh Bishlucho, we would have known Bo. Why spell out both Bo and Bishlucho? Tosfot over here claims that you can't say lo zu af zu, that the Mishnah is a literary style, because that's true when you have two statements in the Mishnah. In a single statement, in a single sentence, you don't say lo zu af zu, and therefore it is unnecessary. There are others that disagree with Tosfot and say you could have said lo zu af zu, but we only say that when we don't have a better answer. So Amar Rav Yosef, mitzvah bo yoter mi bishlucho. It's a mitzvah that he does it more than his shaliach. So here there are a number of things embedded in this. First of all, we see the word mitzvah, which implies that there is a mitzvah going on here. That we discussed in the introduction to the Masechta as to what mitzvah we are speaking about. But there is some sort of mitzvah being accomplished here by the Kiddushin, whether that is the Kiddushin itself that's a mitzvah, or whether that's the mitzvah piriyah, virivyah. But either way, we're dealing with a mitzvah. Number two is mitzvah bo yoter b'mishlucho. That it's better that you do it yourself than you have your agent do it. Agency is great, but it's still not you that is doing it. And we'd rather you participate than have your agent do it on your behalf. Kiadar of Safro. These are examples brought from the Gemara in Shabbat showing that Amoraim themselves were involved in the preparations for Shabbat. Wasn't that they necessarily had to do it. They had Avadim, their family, their wives that were doing the preparations. Yet they were makbid to participate hands-on in the preparations for Shabbat. Safra machrich resha, he used to singe a head, roast a head for eating on Shabbat. Rava malach shivuta, he used to salt the fish. So you have here participation, they themselves doing it, even though it could have been done by others, there's an importance to participating directly in the mitzvah. Ika d'amri, someone to suggest that that's not the message being given by our Mishnah that mitzvah bo yoter mishlucho, rather, v'ha isura name itba. Here there's even something more problematic, which is that there's an isur for him to use a shliach. Dravyura marav, tam ravyura marav, asur la'adam shikadeshet aisha ad shir ena. It's improper for an individual to marry a woman until he sees her. So if he does it through an agent, and therefore he's never going to meet the woman in person, it is problematic. Obviously, there are ways around this. If he knows what she looks like, if he's met her before, there are other ways for him to have this knowledge without it being here. But assuming that this is generating the Kiddushin and this is their initial meeting, then here there would be an Isur for him to send a Shliach. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. It's giving priority or precedence to him doing it, not because mitzvah bo. It's better for him to do it, but rather also for him to do it with a Shliach. Despite the fact it will work if he does it. Now, if that is the case, then you have to say, Aish Mikadesh is lav davko. That's a lashon of lechatchila. Aish Mikadesh, you have to say is that it's just telling you, Aish Mikadesh, a person can create kiddushin, and then bo b'shlucho is just qualifying the statement, not telling you whether that's bidiavad or lechatchila. Aish Mikadesh bo, fine, that is lechatchila. B'shlucho, can't say Aish Mikadesh, but since we already wrote it that way, we continue in that language. Shema yireh ba davar miguna v'titgana alav. Problem is that if he doesn't see her beforehand, he doesn't vet the woman ahead of time, then maybe he will finally meet her, and he won't be so pleased with his choice, she will not be attractive to him, and that will continue to cause problems through their marriage, because he will not have an affinity towards this woman. Rachman Amar, and the Torah says, Va'afta re'acha kamocha, that you have to love your fellow Jew like yourself, and that applies not only to friends, outsiders, but to family and to a wife. That between a husband and wife, Va'afta re'acha kamocha is a fundamental part of the relationship, and therefore it would be inappropriate if he doesn't have those feelings, if he doesn't have that desire to be married to this woman, that would be a violation of Va'afta re'acha kamocha. So that's an important principle of marriage, is Va'afta re'acha kamocha. Therefore, if he doesn't feel attracted to this woman, that already would be a violation of Va'afta re'acha kamocha, and that's the isur that would be precipitated over here. V'chi itmar d'Rav Yosef aseifa. And then that statement of Rav Yosef, who says mitzvah bo yoter mishtucho, would not be qualifying the ratio, but rather qualifying the seifa. So that's Rav Yosef aseifa itmar, was said on the seifa, aisha mitkadeshet bau b'shtucha. Same question you have in the second half of the Mishnah. Why does it mention her and her agent? Hashta b'shilucha mikadsha ba miboya. If she can use an agent to accept kiddushin, why can't she do it herself? Of course she can do it herself. I'm Rav Yosef, mitzvah ba yoter mibishtucha. That it's the same principle that we saw above that we applied to the first half of the Mishnah, now we're applying to the second half of the Mishnah, which is that it's better that she does it herself rather than doing it through an agent. Kiyad Rav Safra, similar to what we saw by Rav Safra, Machrich Reisha, and the preparations for Shabbat, used to singe, roast the head, Rav Malach Shibuta, he would salt the fish. Aval, Baha, Isura Leitba. But over here, it's different, because there's no Isura. So there's a different level of priority or precedence given to her doing it versus him doing it. By him, there actually is not only mitzvah yoter bo mishlucho, there's an isura for him to do it through a shliach if he hasn't met the woman. Over here, by the woman, there is no isura, but there is a precedence or a priority given to her doing it. Kedereish lakish. Damereish lakish. Tav the meitav tandu, melameitav armelu. So something that is mentioned throughout Shas, it's a principle or a guiding principle, which is that a woman rather be married than be alone. Now, especially in their society, that was definitely true. It's not so untrue today as well, but obviously there are different qualifications within society and culture where there's probably a certain amount of mitigation of this principle today versus in their day where it was clearly true, which is tav the meitav tandu, as Rashi explains over here, it's better to have two bodies or two together, but to have armelu to be widowed or alone. I mean, that being married is so important or so desirable that she is willing to forego certain things that she would like to have had in order to be married. So she will deal with the husband who's not so attractive. She'll maybe even deal with a husband who is not such great midot, or other things that she might have insisted on, because in the end she's married. And that's what's the most important thing, is that she has a partner and she's married. And since that is so important, she will overlook the other things, or Va'afta le'acha kamocha won't be a problem for her, because she's just so happy that she is married. There's obviously a limitation to how far you can push this. And again, this is very societal. It's not, you can't just apply this principle blindly. The Rishonim here discuss what obligation there is on the woman's side to see the husband beforehand. We're saying over here, it's clear that the husband must see the woman beforehand. By the woman, maybe it is that she doesn't have to see the husband beforehand, but she might have to have knowledge about the individual beforehand. This is the nature of men and women. Men are much more focused on the physical beauty. The woman is much more focused on the character of the individual. And therefore, some of the Rishonim indicate that for the man, the appearance of the woman and seeing the woman is very important, and therefore that is what's demanded. For the woman, it might be that there is a demand that she know the man or know about the man. That it may be that she doesn't have to see him physically, but she has to have some idea of who she's going to marry or the character of the individual, because that's what's important to her. And therefore, she needs knowledge of that. Other Rishonim say that the principle established here by the Gemara is that the woman will even overlook that. And that's the whole idea of Tav the Meitav Tandu, which is that she is willing to take anything. As long as he's not abhorrent or he's not abusive or evil, she's willing to be in the marriage, and therefore maybe she doesn't even have to have that knowledge or that minimal knowledge about the husband because, again, she's just happy to be married. Now Rashi points out, by definition, if she is sending a shliach to accept a kiddushin, that means that he didn't see her. And there is an isura that involved. Because by definition, if she creates agency, he's not seeing her, and there's an issue of isur, not just an issue of mitzvah yoter bo mimishlucho. So Rashi says, enochanami, but the Mishnah focuses independently on each party here. So enochanami, from the man's standpoint, there is a problem of isura, but that was already addressed by the Reisha. The Seifa is addressing it from the woman's perspective. As far as she's concerned, creating the agent is not a problem of isura, it's only a problem of mitzvah bo yoter mimishlucho. And so yes, there might be an isur when she creates an agent, because the husband then won't see her, but nevertheless, from her perspective, the creation of agency only has one deficit, and that is the mitzvah deficit, not a deficit of isura. One thing of note is that here the Gemara says that it's mitzvah ba yoter mimishlucha, that it's a mitzvah for the woman to enter into the marriage more than doing it through an agent. The underlying assumption here is that the woman has a mitzvah. What mitzvah are we speaking about? This goes back again to our introduction to the Masechta, is according to those Rishonim who believe that the mitzvah of Kiddushin, there is no mitzvah, it's really a Heche Timsa, or the mitzvah of Piria Rivia that is driving over here, a woman is not Nifkada, she is not commanded to keep the mitzvah of Piria Rivia. So what mitzvah are we speaking about here on behalf of the woman? So some suggest, this is according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who we saw in the previous parak, who says a woman is commanded in Piria Rivia. That's difficult to say that the Gemara is setting up the sugya, liba, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who we don't paskin like. But according to Rabbanu, who say that, it's not the case. She is not chayevin in Piria Rivia. Then what mitzvah are we speaking about here? Tosafot in many places in Shas discusses the fact that it's possible that those that are not commanded in Piria Rivia are still commanded in lo tohu vera'ah, that Hashem did not create the world to be desolate, and therefore there is an overarching command of pru urvu, not necessarily the particular mitzvah of pru urvu, but rather the more generic mitzvah of populating the world, and that a woman might be chayevet in, and that might be the mitzvah that we're speaking about here. The Ran, who in other places has a very radical formulation of the woman's participation in Kiddushin in the Gemara in Nedarim, over here suggests that the woman is misayet. The mitzvah here is not that she's actually doing a mitzvah. She's doing a mitzvah in helping her husband to accomplish the mitzvah of pru urvu. And that's the mitzvah that we're speaking about here. That's a big chiddush, because that means the Ran applies this not only to when you are obligated in a mitzvah, but even when you are helping someone else accomplish a mitzvah, you would apply the principle of mitzvah bo yoter mimishlucho. We would apply the principle that it's better that you do it than you send a proxy to do it, even when you're not doing a mitzvah itself, but you're only aiding and abetting someone in doing a mitzvah. That's how the Ran explains the mitzvah that is associated with the woman here. Obviously, for those that believe that there is a mitzvah in Kiddushin, then it's much easier to explain this, because the man and the woman could be equally obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddushin itself, and therefore this Gemara would be much easier to understand, or might even be a proof to that position that there is a mitzvah of Kiddushin, because the woman is included in this mitzvah. So now, Aish Mekadesh Bito Kishi Na'ara. Father can marry off his daughter when she is a Na'ara. Na'ara means that she's already of age, and it's in that small window in the time period which she's of age, before she becomes independent. So until she graduates to being a bogeret, where she's on her own, that period of time, the father has rights to marry off his daughter. What do you mean? The Mishnah seems to indicate that when she's a nara, he has the rights, implying that when she's a ktana, he can't do it. Now, you could have said that the Mishnah is telling you the chiddush. The fact that he can marry off when she's a ktana, that's not a chiddush, because he has all rights in her. Na'ara, where she's already of age, there, maybe he shouldn't have rights. And that's what the Mishnah is doing. She's telling you the Chiddush, which is the Na'ara. That would be the simplest way to read the Mishnah, and that's what Tosfot asks. Why doesn't the Gemara just assume that? So Tosfot gives two answers, basically focusing on the language. He says, Yesh lamar, t'dayik mikdiktani shi na'ara, v'loktani ha'ish mekadesh et bito na'ara. That the extra language of kishihi na'ara, instead of et bito na'ara, describing her status, rather than the language that our Mishnah uses, which is seems to indicate exclusively when she is a Nara. From that, you would infer, but not a Ktana. So that's the question of the Gemara. But in Ami Yishlamar, the Daik Meloktani B'matit and Ish Mekadesh should be Tostam. Could have just read in Bito. And Bito would have included both Nara and Ktana. I don't think that is as simple in that manner, even though we have other examples of that in Shas. But Tosfot says, Ein Hochanami, that is true. But the Mishnah should have used a simpler formulation. The fact that it says, Kishihi Ne'ara, that formulation already indicates when she's a Ne'ara, not when she's a Ktana. So when it says, Messiah Le the Rav, this is the answer to your question, Fred. Da'ama Rav Yudha Marav, Itayma Rabbi Elozer, Osur La'adam Shikadesh Bito Kishi Ktana. It's restricted. A man may not marry off his daughter when she is a Ktana. So these are Amuraim speaking and saying that it's improper, it is incorrect to marry off one's daughter when she is a Ktana. Ad shetigadel v'tomar b'ploni ani rotza. Until she herself can indicate that I am happy or I am a willing participant in this marriage. So over here you have a requirement that the daughter be a participant or a party to the marriage. It's not simply done without her acquiescence. It's not done without her knowledge. The father just doesn't do it. Now, technically he's empowered to do it, and technically he can do it. Here, Rav Yudha Marav are giving advice and saying that it's better not to do this. They stipulate it as an isur. Obviously, it's not an isur d'oraita because the Torah does empower him in this way. It's an isur d'rabanan, or I even call it a good advice, mid'rabanan, that if you're going to marry off your daughter at that age, the likelihood that the marriage will deteriorate over time, or the risk that the marriage will deteriorate over time, is much higher because you're marrying her at a time where she's not discerning or where she's not fully developed. And therefore, you're at risk for her changing her ways, her mind, and therefore that's going to cause problems down the road. Now, it's interesting here in the distinction that we don't want you to marry off the daughter because the man may not be appealing to her. Yet, before we said that there's no problem for the woman to get married bishlucha through her agent, and we don't have a requirement or a demand that she see the man. Well, why don't you say you have the same problem? Like Tano, you have the problem. Then why don't we say the woman or a fully grown woman also has that problem? So it might be that that is a problem. That's what drives some of the Rishonim to say by a woman also that she has to have a certain amount of knowledge. Others suggest that when a woman is fully mature, either she can make the decision she wants to get married no matter what, or she can get information through hearsay. And she can know about the person, she can know about the family. A Ktana doesn't have that ability to be discerning or get the information. And everyone, when we're talking about her being put into a marriage, we're talking to her about going in blindly, completely, without any knowledge, without any ability to be discerning. Whereas a grown woman could be discerning, even if she doesn't see the man, even if she doesn't meet him, she can still have information and knowledge that makes her comfortable in entering into the marriage. And for that reason, we would distinguish between the two. And as the Balei Tosafot note over here, Rechshav, Shanu Noagim Lekadesh Binotenu Afilu Ktanot, how come today our practice is that we marry off our daughters even at a very young age? Hainu Mishum Shbechol Yom V'Yom Agalut Mitgaber Aleinu. Has to do with our difficult predicament. Has to do with our being in exile and under pressure. If a person has the ability to give a dowry to his daughter, you have to seize the moment when a person has the monetary means to provide a dowry, to marry off his daughter immediately, because we don't know what the future will bring. And since things are so difficult, as soon as we have the opportunity to marry off the girl, we do this. Tosfot has a similar commentary with regards to the boys in Gemot on Daf Tzadi Vov Amud Bet, and as to why the boys are also getting married at a very young age, below the age of Bar Mitzvah, and for the similar reasons, which are that the difficulty of the Galut and the predicaments that we find ourselves in compel us to have these youngsters get married in order that they do get married, and in order that we do have a perpetuation of Klal Yisrael. Okay, now the Gemara asks, Shlichut minolon. How do we know that agency works? The question here is much more particular to Kiddushin, which is, how do we know that agency works by Kiddushin? The Gemara will then ask about agency in general. But here, how does agency work? Many of the Rishonim ask more fundamental questions. Who says that you need Edin and Shlichut? Who says that you need to know that agency works? It might be here that the agents are functioning not as Shlichim, but as their Mishum Schia, that they're acting on behalf of the other party to bring a Schut, to do something beneficial to them. And we already saw that Zochin Sha'adam Shalom Bifanav, that you're able to generate positive outcomes for other parties without their knowledge or acquiescence, we assume, or there's an assumed acquiescence in those cases. So for the Balei HaTosafot, it's not really a question, because the Balei HaTosafot, as we've noted many times, think that Shlichut is Mishum Zechiyah. Shlichut comes through Zechiyah, and so therefore, that's almost the nature of the question here in general. On the other hand, many other Rishonim believe that Zechiyah would not work over here, especially for the woman, but maybe even for the man, because it's not all positive. There are limitations that are created through Kiddushin. The woman who agrees to Kiddushin now becomes Asura to everybody else in the world. So yes, there's a schut in the sense of that she's now going to be married or she has Kiddushin, but there's also a negative side associated with it, and therefore you couldn't generate it through Zechiyah. And maybe for the man too. The man now becomes Asur in the relatives of this woman, so therefore, maybe there's not a Zechiyah here, or a clear Zechiyah here. That's one approach. The other approach is to say that Shlichut and Zechiyah are different. I mean that Shlichut and Zechiyah function differently and have different rules about them. And therefore, there's a reason to have an agent or a proxy work, even though you could have Zechiyah work. Because even if Zechiyah works, Shlichut works or functions differently halachically. And therefore, you might want that to work, even if Zechiyah does work. That's just, I would say, a light motif throughout today's daf, which is you can always ask, in many of the instances, why isn't this Zechiyah, or why doesn't this work Mishum Zechiyah? So in every case, you have to discuss or think about what we just noted, these differences between Zechiyah and Shlichut, and whether there really is a Zechiyah in these cases. So the Gemara learns it out, first of all, asks the question, the Gabei Kiddushin, and gives an answer, the Gabei Gerushin. So it brings the source, not from Kiddushin, but rather from Gerushin. And through Gerushin, it extrapolates or brings the din over to Kiddushin. And that is because it says, in the Parshia, dealing with marriage and divorce, it says, Kikach ishishao bala, v'aim lo timsachin beinav, ki matza ba'ir vatavar, v'kotav la sefer kritut, v'natan v'yada. Then the last two lines are, v'shulcha mi beito. So the question is, Vishulcha mi beito, what is Vishulcha teaching you that he has to send her out of his house? Now we've learned numerous things from Vishulcha before, that it has to be someone who you send away and doesn't come back, other limudim that we have. In addition to that Vishulcha, there is another Shulcha in the Pasuk, which Parsha, which is, Lo yuchal bala rishon asher shulcha lashuv lekachta. The first Baal who sent her away can't take her back after she's now married someone else in the interim. So the word shulcha appears twice, and the word shulcha in the Parshia is written in shulcha with a mapike, which means v'shilach uta, that he will send her out. Now the Gemara dashes from that. Why does it say v'shilcha? That teaches you, tanya v'shilach, v'shilach melameid shehu oseh shliach. So Rashi over here says, v'gerushin tiv, shulcha mi beito, umetelo kata v'girsha. It should have used the word, Migirsha Mibito. He chases her out of the house. What does it mean, Vishilcha? The change in the language tells you, or gives you information, that you can have a get that is done through Shlichut. You don't have to do it in person. You can have an agent do it on your behalf. So that's what it means. The Tanya Vishilach, Lameid, Shehu Ose Shliach. That he's able to create a Shliach. Vishilcha, Lameid, Shehi Osa Shliach. Now, as Rashi says over here, they're going to read Vishilcha, not with the mapike, but without a mapike. So you read it once with the mapike, which is v'shilach uta, and that's the shilach. Then you're going to read it v'shilcha, not with the mapike, which means that she sends out. That means that she can accept her get through a shaliach. And again, in both instances, the reason being that it should have said v'girsha, that the alternate language would have been better. The fact that it uses v'shilcha has come to teach you that both he and her can establish a shliach or an agent to create the gerushin. Then shilach v'shilcha, and again, what Rashi says here, the second time the word v'shilcha appears in the pasuk comes to teach you lameish ha'shliach oseh shliach, that a proxy or an agent can create another agent. that they can then pass their agency to someone else. Rashi says it's because the word shulchah appears again. Now, whether that means that his shliach can create another shliach, or does that mean that also her shliach can create another shliach? The difference being that when it comes to his shliach, they are doing a maisa. They're doing an action or an activity, which is they are generating kiddushin, they're taking money, whatever consideration they're using to generate the kiddushin, or to give the get. On the other hand, when it comes to her, she only gave over instructions. Her instructions are to accept the kiddushin on her behalf. In mile lo mimsere, we have the principle that we learned before, that you can't pass on intangible items. A shliach can't create another shliach when we're dealing with intangible items or simply instructions or words. And therefore, for her shliach, the oseh shliach is not necessarily so simple because of that problem. So there are Rishonim that want to distinguish and say this is only true by the his shliach, not by her shliach. There are others that say no, that even by her shliach, it can work, depending how the shlichut was created. If she created the shlichut by a kinyan, then it's not just simply words that were passed here. There was a physical kinyan that generated the agency, and therefore that agent could create another agent. Or the possibility that if the shliach is nanas, that he fell into a problem where he can't complete the shlichut, then we believe that there is an embedded right to appoint a new shliach, either through Beit Din or whether not with Beit Din, but that the woman wants this accomplished. And in her instructions, implicitly indicates that if he can't do it himself, that someone else should take over the shlichut. So that might be the instance where it works. But just so you know that there's much discussion about this ability to have an agent create another agent, how broad is it, and whether it's fully applicable by the woman because of the other restrictions that we have, where it's not a maisa, but rather melee instructions that are being given over. Tosafot, on the other hand, brings the Rabbeinu Hananel's shot. There's no nafkamina, but he learns it differently from the words here. V'Rabbeinu Hananel Peres Mishilchach Ron Darish Kuhu. That we learn this all out of the second Vishilcha. The Rabbeinu Hananel says that all the drasha comes from the second Vishilcha. The first Vishilcha is necessary. The second Vishilcha is unnecessary, and therefore we learn everything out of the second Vishilcha. Shilach means he can create an agent. Shilcha, she can create an agent. Vishilcha, then an agent can create an agent. And therefore he learns everything out of the second Vishilcha, and not from, like Rashi, the first Vishilcha, and then the extension through the second Vishilcha. Gemara says, Ashkechan be-Gerushin. So now you've established that agency works by Gerushin. Be-Kidushin min-Alan. How do you know it works by Kiddushin, which is the origins of the question here? Be-Chitem d'yolif mi-Gerushin. Let's learn it out from Gerushin. Mala Gerushin sh'ken yeshnan bal korcha. Gerushin can work even against her will. Or in essence, the threshold is lowered by Gerushin, because we don't need the participation of both parties. The husband can grant the get or give the get without the acquiescence of the woman. So maybe in that case he can create agency because there's a lower threshold. Or even the woman herself, maybe she can create an agent because it's not so important that she accepts it. So maybe she can create a shliach. But in cases where they're both active participants, maybe there we would have a different demand. Amar Kra, the pasuk says, like you suggested, v'yatsa v'ayta mikish havaya letziah. We have this hekesh of havaya and yitziah that is v'yatsa mibeito v'alcha v'ayta liish acher. And so therefore, gerushin is connected to marriage, and therefore, just like by gerushin a shliach works, so too by marriage lichut works as well. The only thing is that we're not now learning it through a logical extension. We're learning it through a hekesh. And a hekesh can defy logic. So even though there might be reasons to limit this idea of shlichut to gerushin, because that's where it derives from, nevertheless, the hekesh tells us to move that over to kiddushin and apply it by kiddushin, even though the logic wouldn't necessarily dictate. Hekesh says we bring the limit over, irrespective of the logic of bringing it over, and that's why shlichut will work by kiddushin and not just by gitin. Just like by gerushin you can generate agency or use agency, so too by kiddushin. Now the Gemara says, so now the Gemara starts to investigate agency throughout Shas, which is, what about the Mishnah in Trumot that says, Omer l'shlucho, say tarum, go out and take off truma on my behalf. Here we're speaking about truma gedola. Truma gedola, chita achat poteret et akri. You have to take off the most minimal amount to be yotzei midoraita. On the other hand, the Rabbonon instituted that there are standard measures of separation for Truma, the middle line being 1/50th or 2% of your produce should be given to Truma Gdola. If he's a generous soul, he gives 1/40th. And if he is a less generous soul, he gives 1/60th. So those are the three levels of separation of Truma that are used midrabanan, 1/40th, 1/50th, and 1/60th. Again, midoraita, any amount would suffice for Truma Gdola. Tosfot over here brings from the Yishalmi as to the source for the 1/40th, the 1/50th, and 1/60th. The 1/40th and the 1/60th, they darshan from a pasuk in Yechezkel. And the 1/50th, they darshan from the pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, where they are distributing the spoils of the war. And over there it says, "U'machatzit b'nei Yisrael tikach 1% min ha-chamishim." From the portion that belongs to B'nai Yisrael, you should take off a tax of 1 out of 50. And they use that as a precedent or a paradigm for Truma, for separations that you do. All separations that you do should be separations of 1/50th or 2%. So he says to the agent, go ahead and take off Truma from me. Toreim kedat balabayit. He takes off Truma based on what he thinks the balabayit would want. Is this guy a generous guy? Is this guy a miserly guy? Is this guy a middle-of-the-road guy? And he takes off based on whatever he thinks the balabayit would want to do. And based on that, he parries out his agency. What happens if he has no idea what the owner would have wanted to do in this case? Then he just takes the middle road, 1/50th or the 2%, because that is the standard amount that is removed. And therefore, if he has no knowledge or information, he should just assume that the individual is a benoni. He's a normal person, and therefore 2% will suffice. And in some senses, the Chachamim now indemnified him. Since he followed protocol, which is 1/50th, which is one of the shiurim given by the Chachamim, therefore they indemnify him and say that the agent did his agency properly, and the balabite can't complain. Because if the balabite wanted something else, he should have specified. If he didn't specify, then if he follows the protocol of the Chachamim, he's fine. So much so, that even if Picheta Sara, Osifa Sara, if he reduced it by 10, or increased it by 10, here we're speaking about the denominator. If you move the denominator up or down 10, which means 1/40th or 1/60th, then Trumato Truma. The Truma works. And it is a good Truma. Again, here for the same reason. Because the Chachamim gave that as a standard protocol, 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th, are all numbers that are reasonable. And since those are reasonable numbers, they basically indemnify the shliach and say he carried out his shlichut and the balabait can't complain over here. Now, a number of things. First of all, picheta sara or sifa sara, it's a semantic machuk between Rashi and the Tosafot as to whether when you reduce it 10, what does it mean reduce it 10? Does it mean reduce the denominator 10, which means you're giving more truma? Or does it mean reduce it 10, which means that you want to give less truma, means 1/60th. So that you're really increasing the denominator by 10, but that reduces the amount of truma that you would give. It's a semantic issue. Are we focused on the amount of the truma or the dat balabait? But either way, you end up with 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th being approved over here for the shliach. Now that's different than something we're going to see later on in this Masechta, as well as in the Gemara in Baba Metzia, which says that if a person sends a shliach, and he goes in and he takes off truma on behalf of the balabait, and he takes it from the best of his items, if the balabait comes over afterwards and says to him, oh, why'd you take off from the best? You should have taken off from even better stuff. So there, the Gemara says, if the balabait has better stuff, then he was serious when he said that to the shliach. Why didn't you even take the better stuff? Why didn't you just take the good stuff? You should have taken even better. That means that he's basically implicitly approving of what the shliach did. And then if he has nothing better, then he's being sarcastic and saying to him, why didn't you take for something even better? He basically gave me away my best stuff. Why'd you do that? And therefore, the truma is not truma. So Tosfot wants to know what's the difference between the individual over there, where if he's not happy with what the shliach did, because he gave his best, that we say the shliach didn't carry out his agency and it's not truma. And over here we say, look, everything goes. Whatever the shliach decides, that's good. So he makes the distinction that we've been articulating all along, which is, that it's not the normal way for people to pick the best of the produce to give to Truma. Daily trom, elo benunim. People take the middle of the road. Over here, there are many people who follow the protocol of the Chachamim to give a little more of 1/40th, to give a little less of 1/60th, which is what we've been articulating until now. The reason this shliach is okay is because he took a standard number that the Chachamim gave, which is 1/40th, 50th, or 60th, and that protects him. As long as he uses one of those, he can say, that's what I thought. And that's enough to protect him. If he goes out of those bounds, or if he's giving from the best of the crops, something that is unusual, or something that would not necessarily have been the dat balabait, and you can't just assume that, then the balabait has a right to reject that which the shliach did, and I will explain that Gemara in Baba Metzia. You're right, the balabait exposed himself by not articulating what he wants, but that doesn't mean it's a free-for-all. That still means that he's bound by the normalcy of society, that the shliach has to make reasonable assumptions. So that's why he's bound between 1/40th and 1/60th, and why if he goes out of those bounds, it's not. But there are bounds, it's not like he can do whatever he wants. But you're right, the Baal HaBayit put himself in the predicament by not articulating, and that's why the shliach has given a certain amount of indemnification here, is because Baal HaBayit didn't specify, that means he left it up to the shliach. So as long as the shliach makes a reasonable assumption, we won't question the agent in that case. Now, in terms of why the Gemara quoted the whole Mishnah, the Mishnah, they all had to do was quote, Omer Lushluchot saved Rome, Torem Gadat Balabait, and they would have been done. Why does the Gemara quote the remainder of the Mishnah when that's not necessary to know that Shlichut works by Truma? All we want to know is that Shlichut works by Truma. The first line of the Mishnah suffices. So the truth is that in many places in Shas, the Gemara quotes the whole Mishnah when it quotes it. But some of the Rishonim want to indicate that if you only had the first half of the Mishnah, you would have thought that maybe it works Mishum Zchia, because the agent is doing it, something positive for the Balabait. Here you see in the second half of the Mishnah that the shlichut that's working here is shlichut. Because here, even when the Baal HaBayit is not happy, the shlichut works. And that is actually one of the differences between shlichut and schia, which is that by schia, in the end, you need the acquiescence of the party. And if they're not happy with the outcome, then it doesn't work. On the other hand, shlichut, once you create agency, the agent acts on your behalf, irrespective of whether you like it or not, because you empowered them to act. And so therefore, this is one of the differences here, and that's why it clearly indicates that this is shlichut and not tzchia, is because in the end, the Baal HaBayit wasn't happy with what the shliach did. Nevertheless, it sticks, because he was a shliach and not mishum tzchia. So Gemara wants to know, what is the source for the fact that agency works by truma? So what are you going to say? He learns it out from gerushin. Mada gerushin shaken yeshnan chol. By gerushin, we're talking about mundane matters. We're talking about divrei chol versus truma, which is kodashim. It's not full-fledged kodashim, it's kodshei gavul. And maybe you cannot extrapolate from those mundane matters to truma. Samakra atem gamatem. The pasuk says by truma, kein tarimu gamatem. And the word there, gam, is extraneous. And the Gemara is learning out from that, that gamatem, there are both at the shliach. The gam also is coming to teach you that an agent works, or agency works by truma. Where it says, v'nichtov rachmana b'truma, v'neite hanach, v'nigmeru minayim. So why don't we just write it by truma, and then we'll learn out, or extrapolate kiddushin and gerushin from truma. Mishum de'ikon l'mifrach. Because you can break that up logically. Shekein yeshna b'machshava. That is because truma works even through thought, without actual articulation of the truma. As Rashi says over here, if an individual looks at one side of the pile and says that's the truma, looks at the other side and says I'm going to eat from that side, it works. And the side that he looked at is truma, the other side is chulin. Now that din is not clear and it's not applicable in all instances. There are some times where we're going to demand, or the proper way to do it is to actually physically separate it. But there are instances where we will allow you to do it through machshava without articulation to create truma. And since there are those cases or instances where you can do it simply through thought, that already shows you that the action of separating out the truma is a different action, or not on that high threshold that we would have for other actions. So since you can do it through machshava, maybe I can also do it through shlichut, through agency, because I don't need my quote-unquote active participation in the separation. I can do it through thought. Now I also can do it through an agent. Bye-bye, gerushin and kiddushin. That can't be done through machshava. Person can't divorce his wife just because he thinks about divorcing his wife. And therefore, maybe over there, that demand for action or doing it yourself is so high that you couldn't create agency and shlichut would not work. Even though, as we noted in the Gemara in Gittin, Gerushin does have an aspect of Makshava to it as well, but not in the sense like here by Chuma. By Gittin we learned that if a man already decided in his mind that he's going to divorce this woman, that he should not be together with her anymore. So there are certain aspects of Makshava that apply by Gerushin, but obviously they don't generate the Gerushin. They simply place a restriction on him being together with this woman anymore. But he still has to do the proper Gerushin. By Chuma, that Makshava will actually create the Chuma or generate the Chuma. So then, Vad Etznan, that Mishnah that we have by Pesach, Chabura Shabbat Pischa, you have a Chabura, people got together to share in a Korban of Pesach, and then the Pesach was lost. V'amru le'echad, and they say to one of the party to the Chabura, say ubikesh, go out and search for it, find it. V'shchot aleinu, and then shecht it on our behalf. V'alach u'matza v'shechat. He did exactly what they suggested. He went out, he found it, and then he shechted it on behalf of all of them. In the meantime, again, they panicked because they didn't see him back yet. They weren't sure. V'ein lachlu v'shechatu. They go ahead and shecht their own korban Pesach in the interim. Im shelo nishchat rishon. If his was shechted first, hu ochel mishelo, he eats from that korban of Pesach. V'heim uchlim imo. And they eat along with him. The Gra takes out the word Vishotim because it's not necessarily relevant. But they eat together with him because he was an agent on their behalf. And in that capacity as an agent, he shechted first. That means the first animal was the Korban HaPesach. The one that they shechted by themselves, they didn't need a Korban HaPesach already. They already had a Korban HaPesach. So their Korban is Pasul. And they join with him. Minolon, how do you know that you can create Shlichut in that case? Let's just say, no problem, we'll learn it out from Truma, Kerushin, Kiddushin. Malahanach Sheken Yishnan Chol, Eitzel Kodoshim. The problem is that all of these items are considered to be mundane matters, the Gabei Kodoshim. Certainly Kerushin and Kiddushin are mundane matters, but even Truma, vis-a-vis Kodoshim, is a lower form. It's only Kodshei Gvul, it's not full-fledged Kodoshim. So therefore, I would not extrapolate from any of those to Kodoshim, and I need a separate Limud for Kodeshim. Nafkalemi the Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. They learned that from the Limud of Yeshua ben Karcha. Again, Minyona de Omad, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Minayin Shishlucho Shel Adam Kemoto. What is the source for the fact that an agent is as if the person themselves does it? Shenemar b'shachatu oto, kol kahal adat Yisrael ben Arbayim. That all of Israel needs to shechter Korban HaPesach in the afternoon of the 14th. V'chi kol akal kulan shochtin. Wait a minute, does everybody shecht the Korban HaPesach? We just saw here that they have chaburot, and we know the Torah says that you get together, and people join together on a korban. So there's no way that everybody is shechting the korban. Only one of the party shechs on behalf of the whole party. The truth is that in the dinim of kodeshim, you can't have two people do shechita. Only one person's allowed to do shechita. So there's a restriction against multiple parties doing shechita. Alimikan, shishlocho shel adam kemoto. That's the source for the fact that agency works. So now we have four sources for agency. We have by Gerushin, it says Vishilcha. We learn from there to Kiddushin because of a Yatzavaita. We have by Shuma because of Gamatem. And now we have by Kodeshim because of Shachatu. So now we have four different areas where we have this principle of Shlucho Shel Adam Kimoto. Why do I need four sources for this? V'nigruu minei. Why don't we learn from Kodeshim to the other items? Just simply write it by Kodeshim. And then you'll know the other items. Shem de'ika le'mifrach, because there's a logical break in this. Ma the kodeshim shekein rov maseem ayidei shaliach. Because kodeshim in general are done through a proxy. The kohen acts on our behalf. Most of kodeshim revolves around agency. So I would think maybe agency is important by kodeshim or allowed by kodeshim, because most of kodeshim is done in that way. You can't do it yourself anyway. So then, we can't extrapolate from that to others. So Gemara says, Chada mi'chada lo atcha. We've already gone through each one of these, and we say that if you just wrote one of them, you wouldn't know the others. So then, one is not sufficient. Teite chada mi'tarte. Just write two of them, and then through those two, you'll create a tzada shaveh, kind of a common denominator, and through that, you would learn that any time you want to use an agent, it is good. Hey, teite. Which one do you want to learn out? Lo nechtov rachmana b'kodashim. If the Torah never told you about agency by Kodeshim, v'teite mehanach, and you learn it out from a combination of others like Gerushin and Truma, malanach shken yishnan b'chol. That doesn't work because Kodeshim is different than mundane matters, and so therefore you wouldn't have that limud. Because everything is chol, it's a Kodeshim. Relative to Kodeshim, even Truma is considered to be chol. Lo nechtov rachmana begerushin. Torah will not write it by gerushin. Betayte mi'anach. And we'll learn it out of truma and kodoshim. Malahanach shekesh yeshnan b'machshava. Both by truma, as we already stated, and by kodoshim, machshava carries heavy weight. If you're makdish something in your head, you are committed, you can bring it as a korban, and you can't back out of it. The machshava obligates when it comes to kodoshim, and machshava works when it comes to truma. That's not true by gerushin. Just because you thought to divorce someone doesn't mean that they are divorced. Ella lo dechtov rachmana b'truma. Let's leave out truma, v'teite mihanach. And you'll learn it out of the other two, which is we'll learn it out of kodeshim and gerushin together. Where it says, hachanami. Yes, you would be successful at doing that. You could learn it out of kodeshim and gerushin, because gerushin, we said, is baal korcha. Kodeshim is not baal korcha. Kodeshim, we said, is a kodeshim and not a mundane matter. Gerushin is a mundane matter. So they offset each other. The common denominator between them is that you can create agency. So certainly by truma, you should be able to create agency. So therefore, you could have learned it out this way, and the Gemara agrees. Tosafot happens to point out that you could have learned out, says, Mio, kiddushin avatumi truma gerushin. If you had truma and gerushin, you could have learned out kiddushin, and you wouldn't need the hekesh to learn out kiddushin, or agency works by kiddushin. Tosafot in the end says, Eino chanami, you could have learned it that way, but we need the hekesh anyway. The hekesh we learn for so many things, that we learn from Yatzav Aita, that Kesef works, all the other limudim that we have that join between Kiddushin and Gerushin, so the hekesh is going to be there anyway. So why bother to learn it out from a Tzad HaShaveh between Truma and Gerushin when you're going to have the hekesh anyway, you may as well use the hekesh to learn it out. So it also points out that you could have learned out Kiddushin as well from two of them, but the fact is we have the hekesh. So Gemara now says, well, if you don't need Gamatem by Truma to teach you about agency, then what do you do with it? Fela atem gamatem lomali. What do you need that for? Mi bailated to Rabbi Yanai. We need that for Rabbi Yanai. Dama Rabbi Yanai. Gamatem. Matem b'nei brit. Av shluchachem b'nei brit. Gamatem comes to teach you that just like you are Jews, so too your agents have to be Jews. Which means that you can't use a nachri, a kuti. You can't use someone who is not Jewish to be your agent to separate out your truma. What do I need a pasuk for that for? We can learn that out from another member of Amoraim, which we again saw in Gitin. An Eved cannot act as an agent or a proxy to accept the bill of divorce from the husband to the woman. The woman can't send out her Eved Kenani to accept it on her behalf. Because he's not relevant in the world of Gitin and Kiddushin. There's a logical argument to say that a person can only be an agent if they're relevant in that matter. If they're not relevant in the matter, they can't be an agent. That's basically what's being stated here by Rabbi Yochanan. That since the Eved Kenani is not relevant in the world of Gitin and Kiddushin, because marriage is not something that he can create, and obviously he can't dissolve because he can't create marriage, if that's the case, then he's not relevant in the world of Gitin and Kiddushin. That's why he is blocked from being an agent. Well, the same should be true by Truma. A Kuti and a Nachri don't have to take off Truma. And since they are not relevant to the world of Truma, then they also can't be agents. What do I need a pasuk to teach me they can't be agents? It's logical that they can't be agents. It says, Itzrich. No, you do need it here. Sagadat Chamina, Eved, La Bar Heteru, Klau. And Eved has no relevance whatsoever to the world of Gitin and Kedushin. Aval Ove Kochavim, Ho Ve'ite B'Truma D'Nafshei. And Ovei Kochavim does have relevance by Truma, by his own Truma. Tznan, we have a Mishnah, Ovei Kochavim Akuti Shitarmu. Ovei Kochavim and Akuti that separate out Truma. Trumatane, Truma. That Truma works. Their ability to separate out Truma is there. And therefore they are relevant in the world of Truma. So I would have thought therefore they could be made proxies to act as your Shliach. That's what Gamatem comes to teach you. No, only Jews can be your proxies or agents in giving Truma. Not a non-Jew. Now, what is the reason that an Ovei Kochavim is chayav in Truma, or that he, if he gives Truma, the Truma is Truma? May not be that he's chayav in Truma, because he has no obligation. He's not a bar chiyuva when it comes to the Torah. It might be that his produce requires Truma to be separated, and therefore, if he separates it, it will be Truma. If he doesn't separate it, that obligation will fall on the Jew if he buys that produce to take off the Truma. But why? Why is there any obligation at all? So Rashi says over here, Kasavar, ain't kinyan ovei kochavim be'eretz Yisrael lafkia. that an Ovi Kochamim doesn't have the power in Eretz Yisrael to remove the Kedushat Aretz. This is an argument, a machloket. Whether you have an ability to sell off the Kedushat Aretz and to remove the Kedushat Aretz by selling it to a goy. Might be that the Kedushat Aretz persists even if a goy owns it, or he doesn't have the ability to wipe out that Kedusha. So that's Rashi's first statement. That here, this is according to the opinion who says that a Nachri cannot be Mafkia Kedushat Aretz. In addition to that, Umeirua Chovei Kochavim Inu Puter Min HaTshuma. Just because the Gemar Malacha by Tshuma was done by a goy, does not mean that it's Patur Mi Tshuma. Obviously there are opinions who disagree. And say if the goy does the Gemar Malacha, they says the Meiruach HaKri, then this item does not bechayev in Tshuma. So what Rashi says is this opinion in the Mishnah says, number one, that there's no power for an Ovei Kochavim to take away the Kedushat Aretz. Number two is when he does the Gemar Malacha, that doesn't get rid of the Chiyu of Tshuma. And that's why the Tshuma here, when he separates it out, is real Tshuma. Meantime, that teaches us that Ema Shliach Nami Ovid. Maybe he can be made into an agent because he's relevant in the world of Tshuma. Kamash Malan, Gamatem tells you that you cannot do it. When it says, Ud Rabbi Shimon de Patar. What about Rabbi Shimon who says that if a goy separates Tshuma, it's not Tshuma, and it doesn't work? Rashi claims over here that Rabbi Shimon believes that Emi Ruach Ovidim Chayav B'Tshuma. The goy does the final stage of the Tshuma, he is Poter. Basically, he removes the obligation of Tshuma. The Tanan, Tshumat Ovei Kochavim Midamat. When Ovei Kochavim separates Tshuma, and then it falls into Chulin, it causes a mixture of Chulin and Tshuma, and it's real Tshuma. V'chayavin alei chomesh. And if you eat it b'shogeg, you're chayav chomesh like any other real Tshuma. Rabbi Shimon, puter. Rabbi Shimon says, no go. That Ovei Kochavim can't create Tshuma. So Rashi says that the machloket here is whether Miruach Ovei Kochavim is puter min Tshuma. That's what the Tana Kama believes. Whereas Rabbi Shimon believes that Ein miruach ovid kochavim. The miruach ovid kochavim is not mechayev in Tshuma. And their argument revolves around the word degancha, which is degancha velo dagan ovid kochavim. And therefore, an ovid kochavim is excluded from his miruach creating a chiyuv Tshuma. Or the Tana Kama learns degancha, that there are two miutim, and in miutach and miut, the rabot, that says that an ovid kochavim's miruach would be mechayev in Tshuma. And seemingly, Rashi also seems to say that Rabbi Shimon believes that the ownership of a Nachri would remove the Kedusha of the field. And their machloket is in both these areas, both in the fact that as to whether a Ovi Kochavim's ownership is sufficient to remove the Chiyuv, as well as whether when the Ovi Kochavim does the Gemar Malacha, does that obligate in Tshuma. So Tosfot does not like Rashi's Peshat for that reason, because he says, you're now generating a machloket tanaim that seemingly is only a machloket amoraim. We see in other places that only amoraim argue about whether there's a kinyan for novi kochavim in the aretz to be poter or not. And we don't ever see it as a machloket tanaim. In this case, Rashi's created also a machloket tanaim. And in creating a machloket tanaim, why doesn't the Gemara bring this? When it discusses this issue, it always only brings a machloket amoraim. Tosfot does not like that explanation. Although the truth is for Rashi, you could explain it that Rashi believes that Ovei Kochavim does not have the right to mafkia mi Tshuma, but he also, when he does the Miruach HaKri, he is poter. He takes away the obligation. So it might be that his field is obligated in Tshuma if a Jew finishes it. If a non-Jew finishes it, it wouldn't be that way. You could explain in Rashi that the Machloket is limited to Miruach HaKri, even though, again, Tosfot doesn't think so, and Rashi's language doesn't necessarily sound like that. You could explain it that way. The other hand, Tosafot comes up with a solution, Lekach Perush Ri, that therefore the Ri says, the Tanakama Sabra Afiliyesh Kinyan. Even if there's a Kinyan of Ovei Kochavim to wipe out Tshuma Maser, he can still come up with a way that the individual will be Chayav. So he comes up with these Hechitimses where it grew the first third under a Jew's auspices, and then the Jew sold it to a non-Jew, and that's why it's Chayav in Tshuma. You can come up with cases where the Ovei Kochavim's land would be chayav in Tshuma, not because he owned it, but because the Jew owned it at one point, and he bought it at a point when it was already chayav in Tshuma. You reached the threshold where it would be chayav in Tshuma, and that way you would limit the machloket, or narrow the machloket here between them because of that. So now, the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Shimon, what do you do with atem? Gam atem lomali. What do I do with that? Itzra. Sakadat chamino oil bamarmar atem velo arisim. Atem velo shutafim. Atem velo apitropus. Atem velo atorem et shenu shalo. So there are restrictions. Atem tells you that a sharecropper cannot separate out the truma for the balabait. His percentage of the field he can take off his truma for. But the percentage that belongs to the balabait, he doesn't have a right to separate your truma. Atem velo shutafim. If you are partners, you can't assume that you are taking off truma on behalf of the other partner. Somewhere in other places seems to indicate that you can do it on behalf of your partner. The difference might be what you are partners in. If you are partners in the field versus if you're partners in the fruit or the produce. If you're partners in the produce, it might be that you can do it on behalf of your partner. If you're only partners in the field, then the produce really accrues independently to each of you. And since you're not a party to the fruits, because each of you owns it independently, then you can't do it on behalf of your partner, quote unquote, because you're not partners in the fruit, you're only partners in the land. That might be the case, or it might have to do with the nature of the partnership. How makbid the partners are on each other. And if these partners are makbid, then this partner has no right to do it, even though he is a part owner of the fruits. On the other hand, if he is not makbid, maybe they can act on behalf of each other because that's the nature of their partnership. Temlo apitropos means an executor of the estate can't do it on behalf of the yutomim. Now that's difficult because we do see that an apitropos can do it on behalf of the yutomim in order to make sure that the yutomim don't eat tevel. Otherwise they're going to be eating tevel. So some say that that's only a dinmi beit din, that's hefker beit din hefker, that they empower the apitropos to take it off so that the yutomim can eat. On the other hand, there are others that suggest that the yutomim themselves have to separate out the truma. And an apitropos is precluded from doing this, or it makes a difference of how he was appointed. If he's appointed by Beit Din, then he may not have a right to do it. If he's appointed by the father, maybe he does have a right to do it. So there are different possibilities as to what exactly is being excluded here by apitropos, and whether the Chachamim overrode this Din d'oraita and allowed the apitropos to take off on behalf of the Yitomim. The basic idea being that we don't want him to be generous on the cheshbon of the Yitomim, or feel free to utilize the assets or work with the assets of the Yitomim. Because if he can take off Shuma, he might start feeling like he's the real owner here, that he can do what he wants with them or as he pleases with it. So that's why we don't empower the apitropos to do it. Atem, velo atorim et sheino shalo. By the way, that should be obvious from all the other cases. In cases where you have relevance, we're saying it doesn't work. Then certainly in a case where you have no relevance, it shouldn't work. So some say that's the explanation for the reason behind all the other cases. You know why it fails in all these cases? Because it's not yours. And since it's not yours, you can't do it unless you have explicit instructions. So, Ema Atem Velo Shluchachem. So, if I was to extrapolate and continue to use this Atem to teach you all these dinim, I might have thought, Atem Velo Shluchachem, you must do it and not your agents. So, right. Atem Velo Shluchachem Nami, Kamash Malan, that's where Rabbi Shimon comes to teach you that Gam Atem says Shlichim work. Agency works over here, even though you would have no Havamina. I mean about a goy or an eved, because Rabbi Shimon says they're not relevant to truma. Nevertheless, I might have had a havamina that agency shouldn't work at all here. That gamatem comes to teach you that agency is relevant by truma. Anichal Rabbi Shua ben Karcho, that works well for Rabbi Shua ben Karcho. Rabbi Yonatan, the mepikle that I call the drasha achrina minolon. So Rabbi Shua ben Karcho, who learns out shlichut of kodeshim for shachatu, that works well. But for Rabbi Yonatan, who uses the puzzle of shachatu for something else, where does he learn out agency from? Tatanya, Rabbi Noten Omer, Minayin Shekol Yisrael Kulan Yotzim BePesach Echad. Ken Minyona Dioma. How do you know that all of Klal Yisrael could be Yotze with one Pesach? Shneamar V'Shachatu Oto Kol Gad Be'at Yisrael Ben Arba'im. That all of Bnei Yisrael together in one shot could be Yotze with one Pesach. Ki Kol Akal Kulam Shochatin. How is it possible that they're all Yotze? They're not all shechting it. V'lo Enu Shochut Ela Echad. Ela Makan Shekol Yisrael Yotzim BePesach Echad. And here you see that all of Bnei Yisrael are able to use one Pesach. Now Rashi points out over here, that's very difficult, because don't you have to have a kazayit from Korban HaPesach? He says, kazavar, achilat psochim lo ma'akvo. Achilat kodoshim in general, by the way, is not ma'akev. That the zrika d'adam is what's ma'akev, not eating. Pesach is a unique Korban, whereby achilah is ma'akev. The way that the Gemara in Psochim in the end formulates it is, that achilah is ma'akev, but if you don't eat it, it's not ma'akev. Which means that you have to be ra'oi to eat it, and you have to have enough to eat in order to be yotze. In the end, before, if you don't eat it, you are still yotze. But you still need to have enough. Obviously, Rabbi Yonatan does not believe that. and believes that even if he had a less than a kazayit, it would work. It's like all other kodoshim, which is that zrikat adam is the only thing that's important. Achila, that's a nice side benefit. It's a nice side thing, but it's not integral or imperative for the korban pesach. So now he learns from this that one korban pesach will suffice for all of Kalal Yisrael. Now, truth is that embedded in that is shlichut. Because by definition, if you're using one korban pesach for all of Kalal Yisrael, that means that you're also being a shliach. Whoever does it is doing it as a shliach for all of Kalal Yisrael. And the Gemara now asks, shliach b'kodoshim in olay. For Rabbi Yonatan, where does he learn out shlichut from? The Gemara then will go on. I'm going to stop here. The Gemara will continue now to try to discover that source for Rabbi Yonatan. But the question still exists, which is, why not just learn it out from this? So what you'll have to answer, and the Gemara will say this in a second, is that it might be a difference over here, which is that you are a party to the Korban HaPesach. And since everyone's a party, therefore maybe shlichut or agency works. Or you might say over here that it's a gzeret ha-katuf. Gzeret ha-katuf is that one Pesach suffices for all of Klal Yisrael. And so that's why you can carry out the gzeret ha-katuf. That doesn't tell you in general that agency works. It simply says that you can be Yotze with one Pesach, and that's gzeret ha-katuf. The other hand, the way that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha learns it, is that you can have multiple Korbanei Pesach. So it's not gzeret ha-katuf anymore. It's simply that many people can participate together, and one person checks on behalf of the whole party. So that's why he is definitely an agent there, not doing it because of the gzeret ha-katuf. For that reason, we have a question now on Rabbi Yonatan. What is this source for shlichut by kodoshim? And it's important. We already indicated that you can't extrapolate from the other items to kodoshim. And number two is we also learned from kodoshim and gerushim to truma. So we need a source within kodoshim. And so that we'll speak about in tomorrow's daf. I'm going to stop here 5 lines down on the top of Membet Amud Aleph.